The definition of art is diverse because it covers so many unique forms of expression. However, there are broadly seven forms of what is known as the arts, inverted commas. There's painting and sculpture and literature and architecture and cinema and music and theatre, in case you were wondering. But when it comes to creating something, is there any material that artists cannot use? Well, I have a contemporary sculptural installation artist from Oxford in England on the line now. Her name is Katie Taylor. Not Katie Taylor, a different Katie Taylor. She's on the line to speak with us about some material that she has used, and it's a pretty different kind of a story. Let's chat to her. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Very good.
Thank you so much for doing this. Katie, let's just dive right in. You have an unusual piece of leather.
I do, yes. Very unusual and with mixed reactions for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where did you get this leather?
So I lost a lot of weight over a very long period of time, completely naturally. I didn't have a gastric bypass or anything, and then had tummy tuck surgery to remove the excess skin, and kept that piece of skin in my freezer for 9 months with the intention of turning it into leather. And then in January this year, I was able to do that. Now I have a piece of leather that is me.
Wow.
Essentially.
Where did this idea come from, or when did it enter your head that you were going to do this?
My creative practice uses not that unusual, I guess, but probably in the art world. I like pushing the boundaries of what materials can do and sort of seeing how far I can take them. I use some animal byproducts in my work, things like sausage casings, gelatin, that sort of thing. Not in a kind of gratuitous a way that would shock, but so I'm used to using bodily aspects and within the materials that I use, and so it just sort of felt kind of like a natural sort of process for me. It would be incinerated otherwise, and absolutely.
So was the hospital okay with you keeping the skin, and how did you approach that conversation?
So I asked my surgeon first, who was like, it had never been asked before, but yeah, I don't see any reason, but it is up to the hospital, not me. So I, rather than ask them straight up, I thought, well, I need to kind of make sure I'm approaching it from the right angle. So I did a lot of research. I read the whole of the Human Tissue Act to make sure there was no sort of glaring legal reasons why I couldn't, and then was able to cite that in a long letter, including references to where other people had been given back parts of their body, though I haven't seen anybody do what I've done. I've not found anybody. There may be people, but I've certainly, on all of my searching, I've not seen this.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not, to be honest with you. I do have a friend who lives in Wales. I talk about her all the time, my hippie friend. And she had a cyst the size of a melon growing in her stomach, and she had it removed, but she insisted on taking that cyst home and burying it in her garden for a different reason.
Wow.
Not in the name of art, but more in a ceremonial, she lived with this for so long, and it was very much part of her life, and she wanted to have a ceremony around it. And put that to bed and, move on with her life. So that's why she did that. But you did this in the name of art, which is really interesting. And the process of, it's one thing taking a body part and, burying it in your garden. It's another thing in taking it and, doing something with it, because you said you have to keep it in your freezer. So did you have, like, straight after the surgery, I'm pretty sure you would have been in recovery. So what was the process there? Did somebody pick it up for you? Did they keep it for you? How did that all work?
Yeah, the hospital couldn't keep it. So I, before I left for the hospital, I cleared the whole of the bottom shelf of my freezer to make space mm-hmm. for it. I did ask my husband and my son, but they weren't that keen. But my a really good friend, Catalina Rangifo, who is a Colombian artist in Oxford, amazing artist, she was like totally... didn't even think twice and turned up on her push bike after work to the hospital probably about an hour or so after the surgery had started, and yeah, cycled it across Oxford.
Yeah.
In a big cardboard box. Yes.
How was it stored? So was it in some kind of like Tupperware in a cardboard box? Like how did it transfer?
It was saline solution. Okay. to sort of preserve sort of a small amount of saline solution, and then in a sort of bucket, and then in a box. And so when it got back here, came out of the box, and I just literally put the buckets, or I didn't, and my husband put the bucket straight into the freezer, and it just sort of stayed there for 9 months.
Was it heavy?
Yeah. So I had 2 kilos cut off of me. It's a significant piece of skin. And actually, I mean, in the photographs, and I think that's also part of this as well, is a reminder of just how much or how far I've come from the weight loss. You know, it is a significant piece of skin. And I think that's, if nothing else, that's a constant reminder of the process and sort of, you know, the extreme amount of weight that I managed to lose.
Incredible. Incredible. So you waited 9 months to do something with it. And I read that you contacted a few experts in tanning to get, you know, to see would they do it? Or, I mean, did a lot of, what was the reaction from tanning experts?
I think a lot of people were straight away, I made a lot of approach. I started off by buying a tanning kit, hoping to just do it myself. Yeah. But I think the responsibility just, you know, I could see this was, I wasn't going to get another chance. So I had to get it right. And so I did approach a few tanning experts. Most said no straight away. Partly, I think, because it's human and they didn't know about, you know, where they would stand in that. But also, again, the responsibility, I think, you know, if they're very used to doing just deer skin, you know, there is this whole new, type of skin that will behave or could possibly behave very differently. But in the end, I did manage to speak to an amazing woman whose whole PhD was exploring historical tanning processes, and she was just amazing. I mean, just so knowledgeable and just, yeah, a brilliant support. So I was able to, with her agreement, you know, we sort of sorted out a day in January this year, and I drove it to her home, and I stayed in a hotel for a week, and we spent a week working on it.
A week. So that's how long it took to do it. And can you tell us how you made it into leather?
I can. I mean, it was the first day, I suppose, was just kind of preparing the skin itself. So that sort of includes taking the skin and membrane. The fat and the membrane sort of off of the back, which is, you know, I mean, this is where it started to get a bit odd for me, because, you know, I recognized the skin as me. It felt very familiar. It was a really odd sort of thing to be doing. So at the end of that first day of all of the sort of scraping, it went into a vegetable tanning solution, and sort of we checked in on it on a daily basis, for sort of 3 days ish, I think. And that process, I think it's bark or tree powders, but that very quickly started turning it from something that was very skin like into something that felt suddenly very leather like. And we did hit a few things that are unusual about human skin as opposed to animal skin, which was quite interesting in the process. So she learned a lot about the process that she had never come up against.
Like what, for example? Can you?
Well, I think because we used to be hairy, when we scrub our, you know, we exfoliate our skin to get that extra layer of skin cells off, and actually my skin had areas where that had happened, so there was that sort of dead skin cells, and that tanned really quickly.
Okay.
But this slightly waxier skin cell layer, if I'd have done a massive exfoliation before I had my surgery, we probably wouldn't have hit that wall. But so there is a patch on it where it tanned much more quickly than the rest, and then we realized, we first started to think that maybe it had been defrosted too quickly and that maybe that little bit had started to decay, but actually it became apparent that it was an area where humans have this kind of layer of skin that needs exfoliating off. And that was stopping the chemicals essentially getting to the leather.
Were you surprised with the end result?
I don't know, actually. I mean, it is very like leather, a pig leather, essentially. It looks like that, I suppose. And I chose quite deliberately to try and keep it as close to my own skin colour as possible, rather than dyeing it in any way. I think I'm surprised in that it looks so much just like leather, but I don't know why that surprises me, because I suppose, we are the same as any other animal. I mean, it was a really strange process, but it is still exciting to see it. And that, it is a really interesting, whole project was just absolutely fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah. It's fascinating to hear about it. What is the plan for the leather now?
I'm still not completely sure. I think I need to sit with it and kind of consider it. Well, the bum bag has come up on several occasions because clearly that's where it came from.
Well, it'd definitely be one of a kind.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Bit of an unusual thing to be walking around with. So, I don't know.
Okay, you don't know yet. Okay, well, you've done.
I don't know. I don't want to cut into it. I know that, I think that it may. I need to think about the context with which it sits within an art. Context.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm sort of sitting with it for a little while, but lots of other art projects have come out of it, and I think that's quite exciting too.
It is.
So yeah,
it's amazing. What has the reaction been like?
Mixed. Pretty extreme both ways. To be fair, I think whilst we were doing it, during the week, lots of the Instagrammers that were following the process, because I kind of every day I was posting, very positive, mostly in the main. I mean, lots of sort of references to Silence of the Lambs and Ed Gein and things like that, which is getting a bit boring now, has to be said. So during the process, mostly kind of just fascination, a bit of sort of like, oh, you're mad, but this is also really fascinating. But it's, I've had articles now written in some tabloid press, say, it's the polar opposite, but I'm quite liking that too, because I think that's quite amusing. I mean, I think, these kind of extreme reactions are sort of, snapshot of society, I suppose.
Well, and as an artist, that's what you
exactly.
probably set out to do, and being called mad is probably the greatest compliment as an artist.
It is, actually. I've got no problem at all. And actually, a whole piece of art is going to probably come out of that process in the comments.
You did this as part of your PhD. Can you tell us just a little bit about that and tell us about your other artwork?
Yeah, okay. So I'm doing a PhD at Oxford Brookes University. It's fine art PhD, but I'm exploring unidentified human remains. Mostly in the UK, though I've looked at modern genocide as well. I would never want to use materials that seem horrific, but I think the bodily aspect, when we're talking about bodies is really important in sort of telling that story. And so, you know, my choice of like bioplastics that I make from gelatin and sausage casings that are, you know, beautiful when they, I mean, nobody would know, actually. I think it's just very fragile, very like tissue paper when dried. And so there's these kind of threads into that sort of bodily aspect and the sort of ephemeral quality of some of these materials too, that they decay in the environment as we do.
Amazing.
So that sort of thing is, yeah, what I'm exploring.
Well, thank you for coming on and telling us your story. You've made us all think a little bit more about art, and I think we all have a respect for you and for what you've done in the name of art. So I appreciate you, and I wish you the best of luck in the future. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Katie. There we go. That is Katie. Contemporary sculptural installation artist from Oxford in England, Katie Taylor is her name, who has turned 4 pounds of her own excess skin into human leather and is going to make a piece of art from it. Amazing. And if you would like to see more, you can check her out on kmtaylor.co.uk. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.